maybe a little different way, but I know a lot of men who are really good mothers. Now, I don't know how many of you had the chance to see the glorious lighting up of the sky in multiple colors over the weekend. They weren't as bright as they might have been somewhere like Alaska, but indeed they were astounding. It's interesting that if you took a picture of them with your camera or looked at the sky through your camera, the colors were way more bright and vibrant. An article that I read said that our camera sees things a little bit differently than our eyes. They see more clearly than we do. The lens of a camera is more sensitive. So, like seeing this glory coming from the heavens more clearly than we do, so it is like seeing this glory coming from God and considering that Jesus is the lens that we have to look through. When we look through the lens of Jesus, we see the world differently. We see everything differently. We cannot rely on ourselves alone. We need help. Now, I've seen the aurora one other time. When my father-in-law died, he was buried in the churchyard of a small Episcopal church in Barrett's Falls, Ontario. Barrett's Rapids, Ontario. And after the service, as families are prone to do, we went over to the house to talk and share stories about Pop-Pop, which is what the kids called him. My father-in-law was a missionary, and he exemplified what it meant to be a disciple of Christ. Everything that he did, he embodied in the context of his ministry and in the context of being a child of God and a missionary of God. So we're all at the funeral, we're taking time talking about how much we loved him, of course, and some of the funny stories about him, because he was quite a character. And it just got to be a little bit too much, so I left and I went out back to the patio, and I sat down to have a little talk with Dad. And as I did, I looked up, and the sky was filled with greens and pinks. So I ran inside, and I said, "Hey, everybody, y'all have to come out here." So we did, and we all sat there and looked up at the sky, and we were all astounded to see, although they were faint, the greens and pinks of the aurora. I was convinced that Pop-Pop was up there, and he was letting us know, sending us a message that indeed all was well. As I watched the lights in the sky, I had the same sense of dwelling, that same sense of abiding in the wellness of loving and knowing Jesus, in spite of all the confusion and evil that seems to define the world. The same sense of dwelling and abiding that I felt as I studied this scripture. Indeed, Jesus prayed for his disciples. This is one of the things that we are reminded of in reading this passage. Jesus prayed for them and for us, and we must pray for one another. Intercessory prayer, praying for someone else by name, is one of the most powerful things that we have to offer to anyone who has to navigate the seemingly dark and out of control world that we live in. Jesus shows us and emphasizes how important it is to pray for one another. And he prays to God. He prays to God for the benefit of the people gathered there, his followers, his loyal disciples. And it's time. It's time for the Good Shepherd to go home to his Father. But before he does, he wants to make sure that his sheep, his flock, are okay. As he prepares to leave this world, we also have to prepare to think about Jesus leaving and also Jesus' return and what that means to us as disciples and what we have to do in the world. In the world, we have to be the model of the Good Shepherd. Hundreds of years later, we are still called to pray for one another. This wasn't a one-off. It wasn't that Jesus said, hey guys, I'm going to pray for you and you guys should pray for each other. This is you guys need to pray and take it on into the world and then pass it on. And in passing it on, we are called to pray. We have to hold fast the importance of being protected from evil. We are sanctified by Jesus so that we may be sanctified in truth. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set apart, to declare holy, to consecrate, free from sin, pure. And as often the case, a piece of music comes to my mind. I find that relevance to biblical music helps me embody the Spirit of Christ as I go about the day. The hymn that bubbled up in me is based on Psalm 105, but is surely fitting for our scripture today. I wish I had the guts to sing it. If you know it and you want to sing it, please do. Surely it is God who saves me, trusting him I shall not fear. For the Lord defends and shields me, and his saving help is near. So rejoice as you draw water from salvation's living spring. In the day of your deliverance, thank the Lord, his mercies sing. Make his deeds known to the peoples, tell out his exalted name. Praise the Lord who has done great things, all his works his might proclaim. Zion, lift your voice in singing, for with you has come to dwell in your very midst the great and holy one of Israel. Jesus claims sanctification for the benefit of his disciples, so that they may be sanctified in the truth of who he is, the truth of what he's done, what he's taught, and the truth of where he is going. Being sanctified calls us to glorify God and to proclaim to everyone we see, to say to them what the truth is, whether it's by your actions or by your words, to convey the fact that there is hope in spite of the world around us. Being sanctified calls me to glorify God and proclaim him in everything. All I do, all I say. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a tall order. As you know, I'm working hard on my language for drivers that cut me off. Doing fairly well. But I still have ways to go. Now, here's an interesting thing about this passage. The way John writes this and the way John puts this forward is he is saying that, you know, with the kingdom is not something out there. The kingdom is not something that we are waiting for or looking towards. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is being a follower of Jesus now. And we need to focus on what is in store for us now. What we do now is critical. The future of the world, the future of the church, the future of us depends on our prayer. It depends on our words and our deeds. We are all called to remain one in heart, one in purpose, and one in intent. Jesus prays that those who know him will find fulfillment and be filled with joy and completeness in that joy of knowing Jesus. And he asks God to protect them, to protect us from evil. And he asks for us to be sanctified in truth, in spite of all the temptations of the world that are trying so hard to denounce the truth. Prayer is as important today as it was then. Our prayer for sanctification, for protection, for love for one another is just as powerful and as necessary as it was when Jesus prayed as he was preparing to leave this world. Even now, Jesus intercedes for us with the Father, just as he did for the disciples hundreds of years ago. That hasn't changed. Jesus' promises are true today as they ever were. One of the most powerful and important things that we have is prayer. And in the context of today's reading, intercessory prayer, where we pray for one another and know that Jesus hears our request. It's one thing to get down on your knees and say, this is what I need, Jesus. I need the car bill not to be too high. I need my, whatever. I need a new car. I need to win the lottery. There are all kinds of things that we pray, but do we remember to pray for others? Somebody's got to do it. And it has to be us as his disciples. So a reminder that during this time between the Ascension and Pentecost, we have a commitment to pray for 5 people. If your thing wouldn't stay on and you have it somewhere, you don't have to wear it, but just take it out during your prayer time. And as you touch each knot, pray for someone, one of those 5 people, that you want to know the love of Jesus and to come to him. I hope you're all finding strength for yourself as you engage in these prayers, and that surely it is God that saves me. Make his deeds known to the peoples. Amen.